kire varata re. Gopi jana vala pha kire varata re. Yashoda nandana prata janaranjana Yashoda nandana prata janaranjana Yamuna tiravana chari Yamuna tiravana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana vala pha kire varata re Jaya gopi jana vala pha kire varata re Yashoda nandana prata janaranjana Yashoda nandana prata janaranjana Yamuna tiravana chari Yamuna tiravana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Jayom Vishnupad परमहंस परिव्राजगचार्यास्तुत्तर सदसी श्रीमद इष्टिवाइन गैसेसी भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगचार्यास्तुत्तर सदसी श्रीमद इष्टिवाइन गैसेसी भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बिंद की जय। प्रेम से गहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त बिंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपी गो श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल सामवेत भक्त बिंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असमल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असमल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असमल डिवोटीज। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text Number 6. Kanya Upagudha Nasta Sri Kripanaha Vishaya Atmakaha Nashta Pradnaha Harita Aishvaryaha Gandharva Yavanai Balat Kanyo Pagudho Nashta Sri Kanyo pagudho nastasi Kripano vishayatmakaha Kripano vishayatmakaha Nashta pratno ritaisvaryo Nashta prajno hritaisvaryo Gandharva yavanaya balat Gandharva yavanaya balat Kanyo pagudho nastosi Kripano vishayatmakaho Nasta prajno ritaisvaryo Gandharva yavanaya balat Kanyo pagudho nastasi Kripana Vishayatmaka Nashta Pratno Hritaisvaryo Gandharva Yavanaya Balat Sanyo Pagodho Nashtasri Kripano Vishayatmaka Nashtaprajno Vitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat. Kanyo Pagudho Nastasvi Pipano Visayatmaka Nasta Pratnyo Ritaisvaryo Kandharvaya Vanaya Palat Kanyo Pagodo Nastasvi Kripano Visayatmaka Nasta Pragyo Hitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat Kanyo Pagodo Nastasvi Kripano Visayatmaka Nashta Pratyo Vitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat Kanyo Pagudo Nashtasi Kripano Visayatmaka Nashta Pratyo Vitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat Nanya Pagodo Nastasi Kripano Visayatmakaham Nastaprakyu Hitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat. Ladies, Kanyo Pagodo Nastasi Kripano Visayatmakaham Nasta Prakrasvitaisvaryo Gandharvaya Vanaya Balat Kanya. By the daughter of time, Upagudha, being embraced, Nashtasi, bereft of all beauty, Kripanaha, miser, Vishaya Atmakaha, addicted to sense gratification. Nashta prajna, bereft of intelligence. Rita aisvaryaha, bereft of opulence. Gandharva, by the Gandharvas. Yavanaihi, and by the Yavanas. Palat, by force. Translation: when King Puranjana was embraced by Kala Kanya, he gradually lost all his beauty. Having been too much addicted to sex, he became very poor in intelligence and lost all his opulence. Being bereft of all possessions, he was conquered forcibly by the Gandharvas and the Yavanas. Purport: when a person is attacked by the invalidity of old age and is still addicted to sense gratification, he gradually loses all his personal beauty, intelligence, and good possessions. He thus cannot resist the forceful attack of the daughter of time. So I'm gonna say a little bit about this verse, and I will read the next verse also. Because actually the next verse, in the purport to the next verse, Srila Prabhupada, he will comment on one word which is in this verse, namely the word Kripana. So there's a natural connection. Here's described how a materialistic person, how he approaches death, how he gradually loses everything due to the influence of time or old age, which is being described as the daughter of time, Kala Kanya. This is of course one of the four miseries of material existence: Janma, Mrityu, Jara Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudashanam. Krishna has listed in Bhagavad Gita, this is one of the items of knowledge, to perceive these miseries. So one of them is old age, another one is new age. Anyway, you don't even know what is new age here in India, I suppose. It's a joke, of course, but it doesn't work because here in India, because new age is not a very prominent in the West. New age is very big. You know what is new age? Nobody knows. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't even bother to explain it. You're so happily free from, at least to a great extent. New age is, anyway, I'll explain. New age is a common denominator for a very broad specter of alternative things, you can say. Alternative medicine, alternative science, or paranormal study of all kinds of paranormal phenomena, such as, you know, transmigration and whatnot, channeling. There's, anyway, it's a whole pandemonium of things that is lumped together under this title of New Age. So it indicates that there is an interest in some alternative to the very materialistic or scientific worldview that has become so prominent in this modern age we are living in. So there's something good there also, even though it's really a lot of ignorance and confusion also within the whole this phenomena of New Age. Anyway, so back to old age. Old age is something which actually starts to set in as soon as you are born, as Vasudeva pointed out to Kongsa, when Kongsa at the wedding ceremony of his sister Devaki, when he heard this voice from the sky proclaiming, you are such a fool, Kamsa, that you do not know that the eighth child of your sister is going to be the cause of your death, and you are foolishly taking her to her new home. And when he heard that, he was ready on the spot, then and there, to chop off the head of his own sister. So just to save the situation, Vasudeva, the would-be father of Krishna, he preached to Kamsa, and he explained that, why you are so afraid of your death? You, let us say that you are 25 years old now. That means you've already been dying for 25 years. So, actually, even if we are young, we still, actually, we are suffering from this jara or old age. It becomes, of course, much more felt, more prominent as we become older. Then we really start to feel how old age is attacking. For the materialist, this is a cause of great anxiety, a cause of great misery, because he is closely identifying with the body. His whole goal of life is just to enjoy his senses. And for him, old age means the defeat is slowly being defeated in all his endeavors. In the West, there is a big industry just to counteract, I guess here also, but in the West, the technology is more advanced. So many ways that people are trying to counteract the effects of old age. Norway, where I live, is a rich country. So all the ladies, they are spending so much money on plastic surgery. You know, they go to the doctor and then they somehow try to repair all the stretch the skin. They have the doctor take away some skin here and so that it becomes again, you know, tight and nice and firm looking. And they take away, they suck out the fat and do so many actually disgusting things just to, so that they can keep their good looks even in old age. I once saw on the internet they'd taken a series of photos of old film stars from Hollywood, and you know, especially if you are a movie star, then it's very important, you know, how to keep your good looks. But you cannot, especially when you live the life of a movie star, usually they are, you know, indulging in all kinds of sense gratification, which makes you grow older even quicker. But usually they have, you know, lots of money, so they are trying to make up for it by this plastic surgery. But there's a limit to how much you can do. And sometimes, you know, they end up looking like some kind of monsters, like some kind of Frankenstein monsters. So that is a hopeless attempt. We cannot stop old age. And the more we try to stop it, the more we become ridiculous. Just like it is said here, when one is addicted to sense gratification, he loses his personal beauty, intelligence, and good possessions. One cannot resist the forceful attacks of the daughter of time. So the converse is also true, that if you can give up your attachment to sense gratification while you're still young, then this doesn't have to happen. We can keep our beauty, we can keep our intelligence. In fact, the real asset or opulence of an older person is supposed to be his wisdom. That's one thing that I have found in my own life, that I'm also approaching old age, being now 55. So what my personal realization is that as you grow older, naturally you don't have the same physical energy and, you know, body is also becoming more susceptible to diseases. But it is counteracted, or how to say, to a great extent actually, by the experience that you gain. By, you know, as you grow older, you get to know how to deal with the world, how to deal with your own body in such a way that you can avoid many problems. Such a basic things as when to eat, when not to eat. If you can understand when you should eat and when you should not eat, you can avoid so many problems. It's quite subtle. There are many things that you have to become aware of to keep good health. It's just an example. There are many other things, of course. But as you grow older, and if you live a sober life, then you gain this experience, this wisdom. And because of this, sometimes you can see that an older person who has lived his life, you know, in the mode of goodness, he can actually do better than a younger person, even though the younger person has more energy and so on. So anyway, an older person who has actually wisdom, he will be appreciated. He can give something to the new generations. That is human culture, that in a natural, normal society, and you know better about this here in India, you are still much closer to the normal village lifestyle with a greater family, where the system is that often the older persons, they will take care of the children and they will pass on the knowledge, the traditions to the new generations. And they can do that if they have lived a life of discipline, spiritual activity, a life in the mode of goodness. So that will, to a large extent, make up for the disadvantages of old age. And the younger generations, they will also tend to appreciate older people if they have this wisdom, they have this actually something to give to the new generations. But as society becomes more and more materialistic, this is lost, and the old people, they become like it is described here in the case of Puranjana. And as a result also, the younger generations, they tend to reject or just neglect the old people, like it is the common practice in the West, that the old people are sent to an old age home and more or less just forgotten about. So that is the reciprocation. I was, before I became a devotee, I was working in a factory in Copenhagen, and one of the old guys in the factory, one time after working hours, he invited me for a beer. That's the culture, you have to understand. It was nothing unusual. So he took me to the pub, and, you know, he took the opportunity to share his wisdom with me. He felt that I'm an old man, and this young boy, I should teach him something. I should help him, you know, how to live life and get the most out of life. So he explained me his what he had gained from life. But I mean, even then I could understand that this is all nonsense. He told me that you should have as much sex as possible. You should have your wife and children, but then you should also have so many other girls, and, you know, as many as possible. And this is real life. And you know, he was saying this with great conviction, and, you know, really sharing his life's experience with me. And even then I understand, what is he talking about? You know, is this what you have learned from life? I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy that one. So if that is the wisdom, so-called wisdom, you have to give to future generations, then, you know, don't complain that they send you away to a old age home. Anyway, I read the next verse also. Shirnam vishi. Shirnam svapurim viksha pratikulam anajitam putran pautchanu kamachan jayam cha katasauridam. King Puranjana then saw that everything in his town was scattered, and had his sons, grandsons, servants and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. Purport: when one becomes an invalid, his senses and organs are weakened. In other words, they are no longer under one's control. The senses and sense objects then begin to oppose him. When a person is in a distressed condition, even his family members, his sons, grandsons, and wife become disrespectful. They no longer are under the command of the master of the house. Just as we wish to use our senses for sense gratification, the senses also require strength from the body in reciprocation. A man keeps a family for enjoyment, and similarly, family members demand enjoyment from the head of the family. When they do not receive sufficient money from him, they grow disinterested and ignore his commands or desires. This is all due to one's being a kripana, miser. This word kripana, used in the sixth verse, that is the verse from today, is in opposition to the word brahmana. In the human form of life, one should become a brahmana, which means that one should understand the constitutional position of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, and then engage in his service as a Vaishnava. We get this facility in the human form of life, but if we do not properly utilize this opportunity, we become a Kripana miser. A miser is one who gets money but does not spend it properly. This human form of life is especially meant for understanding Brahman, for becoming a Brahmana, and if we do not utilize it properly, we remain a Kripana. We can actually see that when one has money but does not spend it, he remains a miser and is never happy. Similarly, when one's intelligence is spoiled due to sense gratification, he remains a miser throughout his life. So this definition, Brahmana, Kripana, is actually taken from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, as quoted by Srila Prabhupada. He quotes in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 2.7, Yo vaitat aksharam gargi lokat praiti avidit vasma lokat praiti sakripana. Somebody who does not use this human form of life to understand spiritual knowledge, but leaves this world like the cats and the dogs, he's known as a Kripana or a miser. On the other hand, ya itat aksharam gargi vidit vasmal lokat praiti subrahmana. Somebody who actually takes advantage of this unique opportunity which is being offered in this human form and understands what is Brahman, what is spirit, he's known as a Brahmana. So we should take advantage of this human form of life. A Kripana, as Prabhupada explains, is somebody who has wealth but does not know how to utilize it. I heard the story of a Kripana, a miser once. There's an island up in the North Atlantic called Greenland, which is actually, it's even though it's supposed to be the biggest island in the world, it is under the sovereignty of one of the smallest countries, namely Denmark, where I'm from. And up in the very north of Greenland, the Americans, they have an army base up there. And some people, they go there from Denmark to work because they can earn good money, even though it's a very hellish situation. Basically, you have to be inside all the time because it's so cold. It's kind of under the ground. But they go there just to make money. And there was one man, he was working up there, he became devotee, and he told us this story, that one of his workmates, he had been working there for many years, and he saved up a lot of money. He actually became a rich man, but he was a miser. And his miserliness was demonstrated one time when he went for summer vacations in Denmark. Once a year, he could leave that hellish place and go to a place where it's a little nicer. So after some week or a month, he came back to, it's called Thule, that place. He came back and, you know, his friends, they asked him, so how was your summer vacation? Did you enjoy? He said, no, it was terrible. It was the worst summer vacation I ever had. It was just, everything was ruined. Oh, what happened? It was, some of your relatives died. No, somebody stole my bicycle. You know, he was a rich man. He could have bought a new bicycle or a new Rolls Royce if he wanted. But he was such a miser that he allowed his summer holidays to be ruined just because somebody stole his bicycle. This is a real story. So that is a miser. What is the use of having so much money if you do not know how to enjoy them? Then you might as well be a poor man. Similarly, we have this human form of life. We've got this golden opportunity. We all have this opportunity. We can actually become self-realized. We can actually go back home, back to Krishna. But if we do not take advantage of this opportunity, then we might as well not have a human form. We might as well just be animals. What is the difference? What is the great credit of being a human being if you are just living your life like an animal? So we should be magnanimous. We should understand how to use the wealth that we have. That is glorious. That is what we want. A wealthy man who uses his wealth for a good purpose, he becomes famous in this life, and he attains great credit, especially if he uses his wealth in the service of Krishna. Just like Ambarish does, Alfred Ford, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he's the great grandson of Henry Ford, and you know, he's has inherited part of the Ford fortune, but he is not a creepana. He's actually a brahmana, a magnanimous person, because he's going to spend all his money to build the temple in Mayapur. When that temple is built, he will be a poor man, because he will spend all his money. But how wonderful that is. By doing that, he will benefit not only himself, but all so many generations in his family. The great departed Henry Ford must have done something good in his life to be so fortunate to have a great grandson who is building that temple. Just think how wonderful that is. There are so many other people in the world who have more wealth than Alfred Ford. But will they spend it to build a temple for Krishna? No. And thus they remain creepers, misers, despite all their wealth. So anyway, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, or Buddha?
We're talking about the old age having its own sway over the material body. It means gross five elements. And I was just thinking like an example of people getting old and not being able to enjoy sense gratification, but actually the mind is still very vigorous, kind of, you know, he still wants so much of the sense gratification, but the body is not responding because of that influence of the old age. So is there anything like in Vedic psychology that the mind also gets influenced by the old age, or old age doesn't have any, it doesn't affect also the subtle body, it affects the gross one but not the subtle body?
As far as I understand, not, and that's the whole problem, that because as we also know, it's described also in Bhagavad Gita how the subtle body doesn't die. It carries the subtle, it's actually the subtle body that carries your, Krishna explains in the 15th chapter that just like the air carries aromas from one place to another, so in a similar way, the subtle body carries one's mentality, one's conception of life from one body to another. So the subtle body doesn't undergo birth and death. It stays with us life after life. So it follows also naturally that the subtle body doesn't grow old. It is not eternal because it's when we actually go back to Krishna, we leave the subtle body behind. Or rather, what really happens is also explained actually in the Bhagavatam. I think Kapila Dev explains that by the effect of devotional services, that the subtle body actually becomes consumed by the fire of devotional service, and it is replaced by the subtle spiritual body. That happens already in this life for a devotee. Actually, an advanced devotee doesn't have a subtle body, a material subtle body. His subtle body is his original spiritual body. But as until that happens, we have a subtle material body which is eternal in the sense that it follows us as long as we are in the material world. And it's a problem because you have and old people, they know this. They have this feeling, they don't feel like I'm an old person, they feel, you know, they have all the same desires and, you know, they want to, as we say, be young with the young. And the young people, they look at this old guy, you know, he comes, you know, dressed in his Bermuda shorts and with a smart hairstyle, and he wants to, you know, be with them, and they think, what are you doing here? You're not one of us, you know. You're an old fellow. and it looks funny, you know. There's also an expression, to age with dignity. Nowadays people, they don't know this, how to grow old with dignity. What does it mean? It means that you accept, I'm growing old. And you accept that this means you have to adapt a different mode of life, a different way of dressing, a different, you know, you cannot go, you know, surfing in the waves when you are 80 years old, you know. It's not the thing to do. And there's like that. So if you can do that, you can age with dignity, then old age doesn't become an embarrassment in the same way. But it's very hard because, like I said, and like your question was, that you still have the subtle body which is the same and has the same desires, like the young person, the same mentality, essentially. Yes, Prabhupada. You can share some realizations. from with us.
No, I have not yet listened to
you are an older person. How to age with dignity. I think you're doing this quite well. Hare Krishna. You can have this one here.
Hare Krishna, old age comes to all, including devotees. So a devotee who is addicted to serve Krishna would not like to remain without service at any time. So when he becomes old, because of his physical disability, he wouldn't be able to serve Krishna as before. In that case, at that time, what he should do?
Actually, devotional service is ahituki apatihata. Nothing can check it. No material circumstance can stop our devotional service. Yes, certain kinds of devotional service will be more difficult to perform in old age. You cannot jump in kirtan, you cannot, you know, maybe go and, you know, build a temple for Krishna, but there are so many other ways we can serve Krishna. And the arrangement of nature is actually that in old age we cannot do so many, we cannot, basically we become more stationary, we cannot, you know, our physical level of activity has to decrease. But one thing we can do quite well, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. We can hear and chant, and we can remember what we have heard throughout a life of devotional service. And that is actually the perfect arrangement of nature, because in this way we can prepare peacefully. We cannot do so many other things, so we can just sit down and chant and hear the Bhagavatam and prepare for death. If you think about it, it's perfect. Old age, it's the perfect arrangement of nature that in old age we cannot do all these things. So, you know, there's no excuse. There's no, you know, people, they all, sometimes the brahmacharis complain, oh, we have no time for reading because, you know, always so much service. But in old age you cannot do all this service. So, you know, you have a good excuse to spend more time hearing and chanting. And in this way, prepare for perfect departure back home, back to Godhead. I was watching my mother in her old days, and I could see how she had just so much time. You know, she couldn't, she was just sitting in her chair and, you know, couldn't do anything. But still, you know, consciousness was there and a desire to do things, and she was just bored. And she was just sitting and watching TV from morning till evening. And I realized she should be chanting Hare Krishna. She should be reading the Bhagavatam. This is the perfect, this would be the perfect time for way to her to spend her time and not get bored. And in this way, you know, prepare nicely. So this is what we should do in old age. We should not feel bad that we cannot do so much physical activity. This is also wonderful devotional service. Just chanting Hare Krishna. And like I said, if you spend a life in devotional service to Krishna, you have a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, and you can give that to the new generations. And they will be eager to come and hear. An old wise person you know, he doesn't become lonely because people, they will come to him and they will want to him to share his wisdom. So just very nice. Everything in Krishna consciousness, it's a wonderful life, and it doesn't get worse. It only gets better, actually, as you get older. Growing old in Krishna consciousness is wonderful. It's not a depressing thing like for the materialist. It's not like approaching the ultimate defeat of all. No, it's, we are actually approaching the ultimate victory, going back home, back to Godhead. In Vrindavan, we were just, the Bhagavatam lecture was about Dhruva Maharaj going back home, back to Godhead. And if you read that description, it's like, it's not a description of death, it's a description of triumph. Dhruva Maharaj is, you know, attaining the supreme destination. He's being heralded by all the demigods as he's going back home, back to Godhead, in a grand style with the what is it named, Nanda, no, two servants of Vishnu, they are coming to pick him up in a flower airplane and taking him back. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Growing old and dying is wonderful if you are a devotee. If you are a devotee. Hare Krishna. Okay, we stop here. Hare Krishna.